All right, Brian Casella from the Chicago Tribune is getting on the phone right now. He'll join us here in just a minute talking about his Day After series, 1 year of the next day at chicagotribune.com. He pitched an idea to his editors to go out to crime scenes the next day because we've got Tribune reporters covering our, let's see, more than 400 homicides in Chicago every year, but we don't often hear much about the neighborhoods the next day. Brian joins us on the phone right now. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Matt?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. So the one day, the next day series, it's an amazing series of photographs. If you go to chicagotribune.com/next day, you can see the photos you took throughout the year. How many different scenes did you visit the next day throughout the course of 2015?
Sure. I didn't keep an exact count. It was probably at least 80 or 90. Yeah. There's 40 pictures altogether that are in the series so far. You know, it just depended on what I found every day. Some days I get out there, it'd be a hot summer day, there'd be tons of people on the street and stuff going on to photograph. And, you know, Chicago weather is fickle, so if it's freezing cold and raining, then you might not find anybody that day. You might just wander around for a while and then
sure.
go home.
How often were you at a scene and there were people there playing, doing whatever, and had no idea what had transpired less than 24 hours before?
Probably not too often. I mean, if it's somebody who lives on the block, they generally had a good idea of what happened. Even if they didn't know the details, they'd heard the sirens, they'd seen the lights overnight. They might have come out and asked questions, they might not have, because it's happened before. So there was a variance there. If it was a larger park, you might have people that had no idea what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
For the most part, you can't even tell physically. I mean, there might be shreds of police tape left, there might be a memorial, some balloons up, but more often than not, there tends to be, you can't even tell. It's just
Yeah. City's
back to the way it was.
How often were these locations where people said, well, this has happened before, you know, we're kind of, or we're kind of used to this by now?
It varied a lot. I mean, I hit there's 29 different neighborhoods pictured in the photographs that are online now. I visited a lot more. And, of course, it varies a lot. There's some neighborhoods like Lakeview and Wicker Park in there that it's pretty rare. There's other neighborhoods, but it's a lot more common. And so people said they were used to it. It was something that they lived around, you know, nobody liked it, but people had adjusted to it.
Yeah. Was there a striking memory from the year, a place that you visited, a person that you met that has really stuck with you?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, in every case, I kind of pulled up with this feeling of dread over another homicide and another shooting and often met somebody great. Over the summer in August, I pulled up on a block in East Garfield Park and found a block party going on. There was a moon bounce and a mom who collected donations to make back-to-school backpacks for all the kids on her block. There were 40 different kids running around, getting face paints and everything else.
Mm.
On that same block, there had been a shooting overnight, a car crash, somebody had died right at the corner. That was all gone, and it was a celebration of Chicago's summer going on the exact same street. There were lots like that. There were, you know, in Reese Park on the northwest side, there was a shooting with two teenagers shot. One was killed. And then the next day I just had gotten there. I started walking around looking for something interesting. There were kids fishing and stuff. And then this girl, Daniela, came over the hill in this giant pink coral dress. It was her quinceañera dress, and she was getting pictures made to get ready for her quinceañera party. And their mom and daughter were just, you know, on top of the world getting ready to celebrate this peak of her life, but it was on the same corner of the park where this had just happened the day before.
And I imagine they had no idea that that had happened because that's a larger park, right?
They didn't. Yeah, they lived a few blocks away, so they hadn't been in the park the day before, and this was a surprise, but they also didn't react in any particular way to it. They were going about their business, and it was a beautiful day in the park to do that the next day.
I know in any situation, not everybody wants to be photographed or talk to a reporter. Did you find people overall, in general, pretty warm to the idea?
Yeah, and you know, in any case, you find people that don't want to get their picture made, no matter what happens is going on. I think for the difference between visiting the next day and visiting right after a shooting has happened is that people were more open to talking. They had a night to think about what had happened. They had questions. They wanted to know what I knew. They wanted to share what they thought. A little bit of that fear has died down because there's not the immediate shock of what had just happened. So people were curious, and then my curiosity was always not just about what happened yesterday, but how long have you lived here? What has happened here before? Is this new? Is the neighborhood on the upswing or the downswing? How are things changing? And I met a lot of longtime residents who could share that.
Will the project continue in 2016, or are we moving on to other things now?
Certainly, yeah. I mean, it fits in between whatever else I have going on and other news and sports coverage and everything else.
Yeah.
But because the problem isn't changing, I think it's worth doing. I think it's worth meeting our neighbors who, you know, we might see headlines every day and think that that's all that's going on, and back of the yards or Garfield Park or Little Village, but there's the vast majority of people are just living around this. And so every single time I go out, I meet somebody completely new who can tell me their story and add to the coverage. It's not breaking news. It's the rest of life that's going on.
Yeah, well, it is fascinating because it's the day after, and oftentimes not the people who were directly associated or maybe even knew the person who was killed, but it's the rest of the neighborhood picking up and moving on, and we never really see that or hear about that. How weird is it for you, Brian, and we're talking to you from Tampa right now, where you just covered the Bears yesterday, to jump between these different things and you know, from the grim reality of life on some of Chicago's toughest streets to covering a Bears game, something that seems trivial in comparison. It's
it certainly is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's much more real life. I mean, much of the news is breaking, and what's the biggest thing that's going on? You know, we say a lot that we meet people on the best or the worst day of their life in journalism and in photography. And This is different. This is what's going on every other day when there's not breaking news, but there's still so many beautiful moments happening on the street. So it's a chance to go out and get all of that we would miss in the newspaper otherwise.
You can see the whole series of photos at chicagotribune.com/nextday. Brian Cassell is a photographer for the Tribune. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone, Brian.
Thanks very much.
Have a great morning. Safe travels back to Chicago.